This show is brought to you by ERN, Entertainment Right Now. Find us online at ernlive.com. Now, here are your hosts.
This is Men's Health Live from Men's Health Magazine. Here are your hosts, Peter Moore and Greg Stebbin.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. We've got a guy on the phone named Dr. Eric Topol from Scripps Health in San Diego who, Dr. Topol, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Great to join you.
Yeah, we're really thrilled to talk with you. You were a big contributor to a story in the magazine about annual checkups. But before we even go there, I want to mention your books and have you talk a little bit about them because the titles alone make me want to know more. One book is called The Patient Will See You Now. Not The Doctor Will See You Now. The Patient Will See You Now. And the other is called The Creative Destruction of Medicine. Are you a popular guy when you're in a room full of other doctors?
That's good. Well, you know, medicine is going to go through its biggest change in history, and I'm trying to help push that along. And obviously, the medical community doesn't necessarily support it wholly, but there are some components that are getting it right now.
Yeah. So what's going to push? What is pushing the change? Am I right in thinking that part of this is the digital revolution that's going on in medicine right now?
That's right. Not just that you can digitize human beings and almost everything that makes them tick, you know, the medical essence of each of us, but also that that information is going to be flowing directly to the individual, the consumer, through a smartphone, like sensors and lab tests and, you know, the cost of things, being able to summon a doctor through the smartphone immediately, anytime, day or night. So this such dramatic shifts, which we've never seen in the history of medicine.
So to me, it seems like there's at least a little risk in there in that a lot of us, when we receive medical information in particular, tend to leap to the wrong conclusions or dangerous conclusions. Are there ways that we can protect ourselves when all that data is flowing to us?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because when the internet came, people started to search for their symptoms, and they assumed that they had this often horrible or even fatal diagnosis. This is very different, though. This is one's actual own data, and it's being processed oftentimes with a computer algorithm. So, for example, let's say you think you may have a heart rhythm problem because your heart's fluttering and you're worried. You put your fingers on a couple of sensors that go to your smartphone. Not only does it record your electrocardiogram, but it immediately interprets it through an algorithm and tells you everything's okay. You don't need to go to emergency room. Or it tells you that you've got a problem like atrial fibrillation, and then you do contact your doctor as to what you should do.
So right there's also just a huge amount of savings, too, because people are not rushing to the hospital every time they think they have one of those warning signs, but they're actually using their phone to determine, oh, it is that what I had for dinner last night.
Exactly. That is such a dramatic, radical shift. The data and information flowing directly to the patient consumer. We've never had that before, and it's pervasive. That's just, of course, one example.
Well, how close are we to living in that world? I mean, many of us obviously have smartphones, but my smartphone has not diagnosed anything for me recently.
Is this just because you didn't get the app yet?
Evidently,
you
I did.
That's it. There you go. You see, if you had a skin lesion today, why would you go to the dermatologist? Why don't you just take a picture of it and get a validated algorithm to text you within a minute as to whether this skin lesion or rash, you know, what to do about it?
Yeah,
let's say you have a child you're worried it has an ear infection. Why don't you get the attachment to your smartphone where it's idiot proof. You can do the ear exam and find out whether or not you, again, through an algorithm, whether or not your child has an ear infection and not have to go to the pediatrician or an urgent care or an emergency room. These are just some examples. So you just haven't gotten the apps and the ads.
Okay. Guilty as charged.
You and I are on the same page about that, Dr. Topol. And I should clarify, you are a cardiologist. So, for instance, the discussion we just had about someone using a smartphone app essentially to determine whether they had indigestion or were having a heart attack, I mean, that's right down right in your field. I mean, you're the guy who knows about such things.
Right. And thank you. But, you know, this is really across the board. So it isn't confined at all to cardiology. I mean, probably sometime in 2015, there'll be a watch that's approved by the FDA that gets your blood pressure with every heartbeat. And get to your oxygen concentration in your blood. So this is moving quickly, but the parameters are not just vital signs and cardiology related. They really cut across almost every aspect of medicine.
Is that watch you just referred to, is that, I mean, people are going to assume that it's the Apple Watch, and is that what you mean?
Oh, right. No, actually, it won't be the Apple Watch because that one only gets heart rate, which is pretty elementary. But other, you know, small companies that have been particularly innovative are coming up with just about everything you can think of as to wearable medical sensors. So this is really jumping from tracking your steps and activity to tracking critical medical metrics.
Yeah, we actually want to talk about this because it's when you stop and think about it that way and you begin to realize, or you would begin to realize, because you're both a doctor and really on the cutting edge of this kind of digital marriage of medicine and smartphones and sensors and things. I'm just sitting here imagining, you know, the temperature on my skin would probably tell you something. The amount of sweat from my skin would probably tell you something. My heartbeat could probably come from my wrist, or there's probably 1,000 different things you could take with sensors from my body that we just don't think about taking now that would probably give you a much better, more accurate picture of where my body is at and the relative health of it than you could get by just doing a visual exam. So why should I drive to the office to get the visual exam?
There you go. Now you're really getting it, because instead of these one-off exams that are very limited, now you have in the real world continuous, if you like, real-time streaming of data. And it isn't even just, you know, the, like what you were saying, it's, for example, getting measurements we never had before, getting your blood pressure throughout every moment of your sleep, throughout when you're in traffic or when you're having an argument with your spouse or, you know, anything. But also it's things that we never measured before, like the constituents of the sweat or the breath, you know, to find out whether or not this actually, we're doing studies to see whether or not that could be the earliest diagnosis of cancer by processing data that's within one's breath. Voice, to monitor mood, you know, the speech and tone and inflection of voice. There's so many things that we haven't been capturing. And it's not in a doctor's office. It's actually in one's own real environment, in day-to-day living.
This is amazing stuff. We're talking with cardiologist Dr. Eric Topol. He's from Scripps Health in San Diego. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more about this amazing, amazing intersection of technology and medicine and science. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back.
This show is presented in part by Shell. No other premium gasoline protects better than Shell V-Power. We'll be right back.